Yeah, good morning, everybody. Scared myself to death. Well, it's good to be back, and thank you for allowing me to be here these last 7 weeks or something like that, anyway. And been a real privilege to be here, an honor to be here back in my old stomping grounds, I guess you might say. And I've really enjoyed my time with you. And I was thinking this morning coming in, I thought, I wonder if I've just been too hard on them there at First Baptist. Maybe I should lighten up a little bit. And then the Lord gives me this sermon this morning, and this is not a light one. So, you know, maybe it's just I'm supposed to step on people's feet. I don't know what it is. We're sorry for the loss of your uncle. Yeah, and we know that he meant a lot to you. Last week you talked about him with me, so we're sorry to hear about that loss. So how's Kenny Chapman, anybody know? Same as he was, I think you told me, right? Yeah, so we're going to pray for Kenny and Donna and their kids. Bob is okay, getting better? Somewhat, okay. My wife is at home. She's got this cough. And we don't know what it is, and it came on about 2 weeks ago, and somebody said that it's kind of a COVID-related thing, maybe, but she's never had a fever. She's not sick or anything. She just coughs, so I don't know for sure what it is. We'll find out tomorrow. We're going to the heart doctor for just a regular yearly checkup, so we'll find out more tomorrow. I think next week you have like 4 weeks. Dale was saying 4 weeks of a lesson coming up. You're going to be teaching, and then Pastor will be here. September, October 1st? October 5th. All right. Well, boy, we better get our engines running. Sounds like he was pretty excited when he was here, so I hope you'll all get behind him and Get on the bandwagon and get going, because there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of people that are unsaved out there. And there's stories I could tell you wouldn't believe. This happened to me this week, and people are just desperate for God. They're just desperate to find him. And they're looking, what was the name of that song? Looking for love in all the wrong places. They're looking for God in all the wrong places. And it's painful to see some people grope with life. And this man told me, he said, I have eternal life, but he said, I have a lot of problems. And after he told me his problems, I was leery of his eternal life because there were some really bad things he was up to. So we need to pray for the unsaved, and we need to work for the salvation of souls. That's what we're here for. That's the purpose of the church. Purpose of the church is not to look good, smell good, or feel good. It's to get out and do the work God's called us to do. And that work is the fields are ripe to harvest. And we need to plan on harvesting. John 11:1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. Was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick? Therefore his sisters went unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are not there 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. And when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Mary unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which came into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come, and he calls for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews, which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come, whither Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, comes to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, let him go. Then many Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doth many miracles. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We ask, Lord, that you bless this congregation as we go forward here at this church to take the word of God to the world. The word is simple. It says, grow where you're planted. Grow where you're planted. I've known people in my past that have said to me, well, I'm going to some foreign mission and leave my wife and six kids here in Norfolk, and I'm going somewhere far away so I can serve the Lord. And I told that man, I said, you're staying here and you're going to take care of the things God's given you first. We're always excited to go somewhere, do something that excites us, but sometimes it's the grind that actually does us the most good. It's the hard work of salvation for souls, not the easy things we can do to win someone to Christ, but the constant prayer for others, the constant reading and studying of the Scriptures, the constant teaching of the Scriptures, that really is the work that God calls us to do. Some have great gifts. Some can cook, some can play music, some can sing, some can do many things. And so we have all been given gifts to glorify God by bringing others to Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray this morning for Kenny and Bob and all the other sick and ill that are on the list this morning. And we know how much they need you, Lord, but we know how much more they need salvation through Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that you would lead someone to their bedside if they're sick and ill that could lead them to Christ. To not just go and visit. Visiting's fine, but it's not the answer to their eternal souls. And we ask, Lord, this morning that you bless each and every one that's here. We pray for our country. We pray for this election that's coming up. And Lord, we pray that the evil that's out there would be destroyed. There's so much of it. There's so many people that are trying to do evil and bad things to our children, to our families, to our married couples. And there's so much separation now between those who love one another and those who hate one another. And so we ask this morning, Lord, that you would bring peace to Israel and bring peace to the Middle East as we see those nations starting to fulfill parts of Revelation and parts of Daniel and other parts of the Old Testament as they come together to destroy Israel, Father. We ask that you would bless your people and use them, as you say, as a mighty battle axe against their enemies. Lord, we pray for Norfolk, Nebraska, that when Pastor Jason gets here, Lord, that you will use him and this congregation in a mighty way in our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, a certain man was sick. How many of you have been sick? Nobody? Ken, you've never been sick. Round of applause for Ken there. My wife's home this morning and she's sick. At least that's what we're calling it. She's sick. We're not sure what's wrong, but she's sick. We don't know what's wrong with Lazarus, but he's sick. Back in 1965, on Christmas Eve of that year, I went to Pierce because a couple friends of mine called me and they said, can you come into town? We know it's Christmas Eve, but we got a little something we wanted to show you. Can you come into town? And my brother was sick. We didn't know why he was sick. He was sick. And the last person I spoke to after I got done milking the cows was him. And I said to him, I'm going to run to town, but I'll be back and we'll open some gifts when I get home. And he said, I love you. And I said, I love you. And I went to Pierce and I was there about an hour, and I was ready to come home, and the sheriff in town came up to me, stopped my car, and he said, you got to go home right now. You got to go home right now. Why? He said, you just got to go home. And as I drove from Pierce East, I saw a star. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, your brother's gone. He's with me. And that stayed with me until I got home. When I walked in the house, my parents came and said, your brother Donnie has passed away. And he was just sick. He was just sick. My father took it very hard. He was very bitter toward God. And his comments to me were always, why would God take a good person like him and leave so many bad people to walk on the earth? My mother was just the opposite. She love Jesus even more. Because in her eyes, Jesus was the only way to have eternal life. My mother had an eighth grade education. She didn't have much of an education. And as she got older, she'd ask me to read scripture to her. I always read Psalms to her. She liked the Psalms. She grew in faith. My father became a little like Mary and Martha. If you just would have been here, he wouldn't have died. Why couldn't you just been here? All my life I thought, Lord, why couldn't you just been there? If you'd have been there, my brother wouldn't have died. Right? You can shake your heads. It's okay. I'm not going to break down and weep or anything like that. We all face death. We all face death. Lazarus is now raised from the dead. Lazarus, come on out. Out he comes. Grave clothes on, because they wrapped them in all kinds of rags and they poured all kinds of ointment on him because the body would smell and they didn't want him to smell. So they covered him with as much spice and things as they could get their hands on. Well, there he is. Walks out. Got his little face thing on. And how many of you saw that this week? They think now the Shroud of Turin actually dates back to the time of Christ. Isn't that something? Now they finally admit it might date back to that time period. They don't know that it is anything, but they think it dates back. Jesus Christ also rose from the dead. But he wrapped his grave clothes up and laid them on the rock that was there. And Lazarus walks out. And the people are just amazed. I was over in Meadow Grove one time. I used to be with the Gideons. Years ago when I was here at First Baptist, I was a Gideon. And I went to a little church out there on Rose Hill Cemetery someplace. I don't know if I could find it today, but it was out there in the sticks. And I went in there, and this guy got up there, and he started preaching, and then pretty soon everybody's hands were up in the air, and it was a Pentecostal church. And so I kind of moved to the back. I thought, I don't want to look silly here, so I'll just move to the back. Got all done, walked out, stood out on the foyer out there, and of course I held my Bible open, and you could put $1, $10, $20, because we bought Bibles with that money. That was the idea. We'd take and buy Bibles and give them to people all over the country, and I was notorious for taking them out of motels, putting new ones in, and then take them to the jail down here. And we're standing there, and the pastor says to me, yeah, he says, you know, I just can't figure it out. He said, 3 weeks ago we had a funeral here, and he said, I tried to raise the woman from the dead. And you know something? I couldn't do it. And he was serious. He's like, I couldn't raise her from the dead. I don't understand why I couldn't do that. Well, there's only one that can raise you from the dead. There's only one that's gone to glory. There's only one who loves you enough to die for you. Amen? Come on, you can do better than that.
Amen.
That's much better. I'm going to have to get you right up here beside me, girl.
Oh, you want me to?
I know. So death takes its toll on all of us. You say, well, what about your brother? Well, we know Lazarus, he was loved by Jesus, and of course, he raised him from the dead, and now Lazarus is with them, and your brother's gone, and yeah. But my brother had gone, and I don't know if Sonia or any of you girls were with them, but he went to a Billy Graham crusade in Omaha with First Baptist people. And he received Christ down there. Then when he came back, we both came down the aisle. I didn't get to go. I had to stay home and do chores, but he got to go. And we both came down the aisle. We both walked down the aisle. The pastor said, what do you want to do? I said, we both want to go to heaven. Is there any chance we can do that? Yeah. So he led us to the Lord. We received Christ. And then he dies a year later. I have complete security in that. I am completely secure with the fact that I know he asked Christ into his heart. You think about that. Are you sure you've done the right thing? That's the question. Are you sure you've done the right thing? Yeah, well, I got a lot of my friends, and they'll say, yeah, I believe in the big guy upstairs. That's just blasphemy. That's just blasphemy. Not a big guy upstairs. It's the eternal God upstairs. So now I'm going to give you something that you don't even know. You don't even know this. How many of you read this lately? How many of you read this lately? Have you? You know what's coming? You know what's coming? Go ahead. Say it louder. I can't hear you.
Resurrection.
Okay. Let's go. Let's find out what really happened here. John 12, 9 through 11. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. The Pharisees, the Jews, come to the dinner that they're having for Lazarus. After he's been raised from the dead, he's in the house with Martha and Mary having supper, and the Jews say this. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Well, who would have known? Who would have known? They came to kill Jesus, and they also came to kill Lazarus because they got to get rid of the evidence. Did you know that? Did any of you ever, did it ever hit you? They came for Lazarus a second time to bury him a second time. Wow. Wow. Satan desires to have you that he may sift you like wheat. That's a verse you need to memorize. Satan desires to have you that he may sift you like wheat. That means to destroy you. Satan's desire is to destroy your faith in Christ, to destroy your faith in God, to destroy your faith in your husband, your wife, your children, your friends, to kill your faith. That's his desire. He comes to kill your faith. And sadly, some people's faith never grows, and they never grow because Satan is wiping them out. It said Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Why did he weep? Because he saw the lack of faith in the people he'd performed miracles for. We were in John this week in our Bible study up there at Pearson. It talked about Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you. I think we're in John 5, weren't we, Ken? John 5 or 6 or 7, somewhere in there. Jesus Christ, the only one that can save you. He's all there is. There's nothing else. If they put him to death a second time, Jesus is not going to raise him up because Jesus is not going to be around for that. But he will live again. Psalm 49, 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Isn't that powerful? See, you see, that's what you need to put your faith in. Is scriptures, not people, not pastors, not friends, not cousins, not neighbors, not wives or aunts or uncles, put your faith in Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to raise you from the dead. Someday it's going to be Sonia, come forth. I can use Sonia because we've been buds forever. Back to this age somewhere. That's going to be the word. Sonia, come forth. John, come forth. Jim, come forth. Jeff, come forth. And you're coming out of that grave. You're coming out. Of course, now that everything's getting so sophisticated, you can rent a casket. You can rent everything now. I don't know what you're going to be when you get in that, you know, that nice cement box, but you can rent everything else. Come forth. Think about it. Come forth. Come on out. And he'll raise you just like he raised Lazarus, except you'll have eternal life. Lazarus doesn't have eternal life at this point. He's still living. He's still going through the day-to-day motions, just like we are. John 20, 1 through 16. John 20, 1 through 16. The first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark in the sepulcher and sees the stone taken away from the sepulcher. She runneth and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple that came to the sepulcher, and they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. He stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Well, the linen clothes, Lazarus walked out with the linen clothes on him. Then comes Simon Peter following and went into the sepulcher and sees the linen clothes lie, and the napkin, which was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. So he comes out, and it's very symbolic of the way we'll rise. I don't know if any of you saw that wealthy guy over in England, passed away. And his one request was that he would be buried with his dog. And the family said, when they got ready to do all that stuff, they said, no, we're not killing the dog, so we put it in the casket with him. We're not killing the dog for him. Think about that. The funeral, a good friend of mine, and they put all of his toy tractors in the, all the toy tractors. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher and saw and believed. What did he believe? He believed that Jesus Christ had rose from the dead. So it was that all the Jews believed, and all the people around Lazarus, when he walked out, they all believed. They all went to town. They all told everybody. And of course, that makes the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the priests really hot. So their intent now is to kill Jesus and to kill Lazarus and anyone who believes in this guy, because this has taken their profession away from them. You start preaching the word in this church, and everybody in town will be really disappointed. They want you to move forward. They want you to be progressive. Don't be progressive. Then went in also the other disciple. Verse 9, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They had been with him. They had seen miracles. They'd seen Lazarus raised from the dead. And it says here, they don't believe he's really the Christ yet. Boy, that's some hard work in front of him, doesn't he? Then the disciples went away again into their own homes. Jesus rises from the dead, and they go home, and you know what they did the next day? What did they do the next day? Who remembers? Any hands? They went, go ahead. They locked themselves in the room, and then the day after that, they went fishing. They went fishing. Yeah, it was a good time while it lasted. Jesus was a great guy, rose, raised people from the dead, fed 5,000. But, you know, we got to get about our business. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked in the sepulcher and sees two angels in white sitting on one at the head and one at the foot, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Boy, that is compassion and love. This is pretty personal, but it was so telling. When I was praying with Kenny, and Donna was there, she was on the couch next to him, and I prayed with Kenny, and we prayed, and then we got all done. Kenny reached over and grabbed her hand and kissed her hand. And she kissed his hand. Boy, I tell you, that was about as touching as it gets. A friend of mine who lost his wife, he said to me, Doug, he said, there's only one thing I miss. I said, what's that? I miss taking her hand and rubbing my thumb on her hand. I miss that. Of all the things I miss, that's what I miss. The touch of another person. Have you ever thought about the touch of another person? My wife and I just hold hands these days. That's about all we're good at, just holding hands. All that other stuff's kind of out the window now. It's just, can I hold your hand? Yeah, you hold my hand. Well, that's all she really wanted to do was hold his hand. If she could just touch Jesus' hand one more time. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was him. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Man, she heard that voice. She knew that voice. She loved that man. How much you love Jesus. As we were led music this morning, it almost felt like Jonathan's heart was, you know, you could almost see it coming out this morning. Trying to lead us in worship. And it's so hard sometimes to get yourself wired up to worship because you're thinking about the week and things didn't go so good and I'm not so happy with what happened. And yet you're here this morning and it's a beautiful day, even though it's too hot for me. Hosea 6:1. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Man, it's an amazing verse. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Oh, man, if you can't like that verse, he's going to raise us up. Going to raise us up. We're not going to be forever gone, forever lost, forever dead. We're going to be alive. And only the Christian has that hope. Heaven will not be full of good people. How many of you believe that? Heaven will not be full of good people. It'll be full of sinners. Be full of sinners. Good people think they're going because
speaker.
turn this one off. Isaiah 25, 8 and 9. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Boy, that's good stuff. That's like nourishment to my soul when I read that stuff. Only God can do that. Only God can wipe it all away. Job 19:23. If you haven't read Job, read Job sometime. Take some time to read Job. You'll really like the book. Job 19:23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Boy, that's a powerful verse. Though our whole lives be consumed, though we be just wasted away, someday we'll see him face to face. I want to see Jesus face to face. A lot of people say to me, what do you think Jesus will look like the first time you see him? I said, I think he'll look like a lamb slain. Like a lamb slain. So that I will always remember that. I will always remember my brother passing away. The day he passed away was the day I believed that I was next, that I was going to die the very next day. I had that in my head all the time. That today's the day I go. Today's the day I leave this earth. Well, that's been 60 years ago now. It still hadn't happened. I've outlived what I thought the Lord was going to give me. Daniel 12:2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. You see, the whole picture of the Bible is that we go out and we bring people to Jesus Christ. I had people in Windside that they hated me. It was a wrestling town. I was a basketball guy. And every kid had to wrestle. That was a whole youth. They all had to wrestle. Basketball was the leftover thing. And oh, there was some of them really didn't like me for that. And yet I still pray for those people. And I still was good to those people because I felt like it was the only way to win them to Christ. Was to love them more than they could ever love me back. Someday, God's going to wipe away all those tears. And finally, I'll close with Revelation 21:1-8. And I love these verses. Revelation 21:1-8, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God and out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And where was the last place we saw that? Garden of Eden. God was in the Garden of Eden. Men and women didn't know they were naked when they tasted of that tree. They sinned against God. All sin has to be judged. All the fruit that comes from sin has to be judged. What you see today is the fruit of sin going on in the world. It's the fruit of all sin. And it will all be judged by God.
God will dwell with them. They shall be his people. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I had a young man attend my church. From Stanton, Nebraska. He was handicapped. And his mother, he was 14 or 15 years old, and his mother let him sleep in their bedroom at the foot of their bed. He slept at the foot of their bed. He was handicapped. And the people at the school said, it's okay if he goes out to Maskantine, right? So that'll be all right. And they said, no, we don't want him to go out there. He can't swim. We don't want him in the water. They took him out there, put him in a boat. Boat flipped over and he died. And the mother, the day of the funeral, we had it in the auditorium at Stanton. And that day, she tried to climb in the casket to pull him out, get him out. And it was a very painful thing to watch. And we had to restrain her and pull her back. She wept and she wept and she wept. When my brother died, we couldn't get my dad out of the church. He sat down in the front pew and he just sat there and wept and yelled and screamed. You got two choices in death. You can say, my brother's okay. I'll see him again. Or my father's lost, or my mother's lost. I'll never see him again. Young lady that went to this church actually ended up marrying my cousin. One Sunday I preached over in that church. It was back over here in that part over there where the auditorium is. And she came up to me afterward and she's weeping. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, my mother's forever lost. I said, why would you say that? She said, she's a Jehovah's Witness. She's forever lost. I'll never see her again. No more tears in heaven. Aren't you glad to hear that? There'll be no more death. I'll be glad to hear that. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these are the words of the true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is the thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. When my father died, before he died, he said to me, I just want to go home. I said, you don't want to be here with us? He said, no, I just want to go be with my brothers and my sister. And I thought, it kind of broke my heart a little bit. Closer. Now you can hear me. Okay. It broke my heart in a lot of ways because there he was, had a family here but didn't want to be here. You want to be here. You want to see your kids and your grandkids and your neighbors and your friends and your aunts and your uncles come to Jesus. I don't care what your relationship is. You lead them to Jesus because someday they'll rise to eternal life or eternal hell. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. We ask now that you bless those that are here and those that have heard your word. We ask now, Lord, that you bless those that are not here today that are working or maybe gone, had to be gone today. We ask now, Lord, you bless the next 5 weeks before Pastor gets here and then that you give him all of your Holy Spirit to do the work you've called him to do here at First Baptist. Give the people here the heart and strength to do that work that you've called them to do. One more time, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.